Today is July the 10th. We are moving beautifully through a whole new summer season in the northern hemisphere and gorgeous winter season in the southern hemisphere. And everybody, we are reaching around the world. We literally have participants in every conference call from every continent on earth. For that, I am so touched and so grateful. And that doesn't even include the hundreds and hundreds of people who listen to the recordings. And by the way, if you can't make it some Sunday on the live call, be sure to go to ChristBlessing.org and catch up on the blessing call. I really, really, really do believe that the energy of Yeshua's blessing is imprinted magnetically, or energetically. I'm not exactly sure what denomination of energy I would say it is registered in, just the holiness of spirit, but it comes through. So many times people have told me that they have a favorite blessing call, and they just listen to it every time they're down, and it completely changes their day. So I want to recommend that to you. It's absolutely free. You can just decide on which your favorite call is or catch up on the latest one. Listen to it and have a better day. So today, I'm just feeling great. We are on the coast of South Texas, and we're having one of those nice, partly sunny, partly cloudy, windy coastal days where if you just want the weather to change, you only have to wait a few minutes. The only thing that doesn't change is it's going to stay warm. But it's really not bad. I mean, actually, down here by the coast, we just almost never, ever have a heat warning because there's too much cool, balmy. It's balmy, but also cool air that comes off the water. I see that Mary's on the call. Hi, Mary Smith. I opened your line, so we want to talk to you.
Hey, Glenda. Hi, everybody. Glenda, you always say the right and perfect thing, even from the very start. So I want to thank you for the word and the exact energy that I want to request a blessing for, and that word is holiness. I live in Cleveland, Ohio, and there's so much energy happening around Cleveland and in our world right now. And I'll make a very long story short, but I was about to sign up. Next week is the start of a convention here in Cleveland, and I was about to sign up to pray with a group of nuns. They're affiliated with, I don't know if all of you guys listening have ever heard of the Nuns on the Bus, but they're a very amazing group of nuns, and they were going to have a peace prayer on the bridge downtown in Cleveland for the world and for everything that's happening in the world right now. And I just was filled with so much, I guess, hope and at the same time concern, and I'm recognizing parts of me that need to heal, that I think a lot of what's happening in our country politically is maybe bringing to the surface the things that we need to heal. I'm a white woman, and I'm the daughter of a white police officer, and I'm also the mother of black children. And So there's so much happening around our connection and our community globally and spiritually and politically. And I just want to pray for holiness to touch the city and to touch our politics and to touch our motives and to touch our reflection on everything inside of us individually that contributes to the energy of the world. So I guess that's my prayer. I was going to sign up to go pray with the nuns, and my poor 80-year-old father was, he was so concerned about the energy that would happen. And so I just feel like, you know, it's always the question of love and fear. And so I just want to pray for the love of holiness to touch us all during these very difficult times and help us contribute to that frequency radiating over everything, our choices, our thoughts, and our interactions.
Absolutely. Mary, that's a beautiful prayer. And just remember, whatever you choose to do in the way of action, your life is truly the prayer.
Right.
And so if you live your life to receive every day the bounties of and the blessings of the Holy Spirit, then your life becomes a conveyance of that prayer to others. And, yes, I do want to comment in my presentation today on some of the things going on in the world. So I think I'll just save that for a few minutes. And let's just continue opening up our conference call line.
Okay.
Okay, thanks, Mary.
Okay.
And, hi, we have someone from Edmonton, Alberta. Is that Desmond?
Hey, Glenda, I so want to take your course, but I don't have enough savings, but I feel like it's going to be an awesome course. So I hope it goes well. And I wake up every morning, and I'm trying to do a blessing in the morning. I do it one at least every day. And my goal is to wake up at, like, 5:30. And I was just wondering what you think. So I'm going to wake up at 5:30, watch the sunrise, maybe do a Christ blessing and think of all my family and friends who I love. And then go for a swim in the lake. But I'm like, sometimes it's cold, and I don't go for a swim, and I have a hot shower. But my goal is to do a Christ blessing in the morning. And do you have like praying for family and friends when you pray for them? Do you see them and think about them so deeply that you have like images of what your prayers, highest intentions of love for them is?
Well, Desmond, I always do. At the beginning of my prayer and my blessing, I always do. But then I release it into the will of God, and I see that for even for me to accept the will of God in their life is the highest and the best. We don't know what their choices in life are, or what promises they have made to God, or promises they've made to others. We also don't know what denials that they have made to themselves. Most of us are in a tremendous state of denial to ourselves. And for that state of denial, or because of that state of denial, we're not able to receive many, many blessings that others would even like to give and share with us. So I just ask that through my blessing and through my prayers, I move into a state of acceptance for the will of God, for what I would wish them, or something different or better as God can see it. And so I think it's always, always totally okay for you to, for any of us, to create shall we say, a Christmas present. You know, if a prayer could be a Christmas present, what would you go and buy your favorite person? What would you do? How would you go shop, and how would you wrap it up? So we could look at our prayers like a present we're going to give. But we also know that sometimes people have unwrapped our present and it wasn't what they wanted. Or it was what they wanted, but they did with it something different than we would have thought. Have you had that experience?
Yep.
So we have to always respect the fact that our prayer is a present, and it's entering the life of someone we love who will take it lovingly, receive it, and adapt it into their needs and desires and how it can be best utilized in their life. And we have to leave that alone. We can't go beyond that, Desmond. And you know, as a blessing giver, that's one of the things that you learned, and that is surrender. So surrender in the middle of our prayer is often the greatest gift of all, because in our surrender, we release whatever part of ourself might be interfering with God's will. And sometimes, you know, with the best of intentions, we interfere with God's will. Just like with the best of intentions and the greatest love, a parent could interfere with the destiny of a child. There was one person I counseled for, I would guess and try to remember, maybe we spent at least 10 hours on forgiveness. Because this person wanted to be a saxophone player, was very, very, very gifted in music. As it turns out, he went a different route in music. He learned the piano, and then he became a music teacher and wrote some compositions and so forth. But he wanted to play the saxophone. Well, his parents wanted to get his teeth straightened, and the braces on his teeth kept him, as a child, from being able to play a saxophone. Now, that's a classic example of the goodwill and love of parents wanting to do the very, very best thing they could for their child and thinking, well, maybe my child is just being indulgent. It's just something, it's a whim he wants right now, but he'll have good teeth all of his life. You see how that works, Desmond?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. And we do that sometimes with our prayers. And so when we go into a state of surrender, we just have to let go. Now, I'm going to take a look at the board, see if anybody else has come on the line. And if not, well, either way, if or if not, I've got some powerful things I want to share with you today. And part of the power is that sometimes it takes a catastrophe to draw our attention to a serious, serious need that has been neglected, that has not been dealt with, that has been or even abused and not believed. The event that happened in Dallas, the killing of the policeman, this troubled soul in his deep anger and bitter anguish for some cause that he felt was justified, is the symptom of an enormous disease that perhaps we will begin treating now. Many times people have made their life a sacrifice, sometimes willingly, sometimes not so willingly, but yet it's redeemed by the grace of God, because the entire nation, the entire world is now looking at what happened. And of course our prayers and our heart goes out to the victims and the families of the victims and the people who witnessed it and were emotional victims simply because they were nearly part of something that was actually quite horrible. For all of that, we give our thanks to God that so many lives were spared. And our thanks to God that something that was really terrible has now become a catalyst for the healing of human wounds, human ailments. As bad as it was, as horrible as the pain and the loss of lives were, we have to remember that throughout the history of the world, and even this nation that we call free, there have been many, many human abuses. Many, many human victims simply through the outrage of insanity and injustice and prejudice and hatred and fear. Sometimes it's racial. Sometimes it's just cultivated fear. And then exploited by those who just want to do harm in the world. It's time we began healing. But it's also time that we became aware that when these tremendous outbursts of violence happen, they are a call to action. It's a time when there is literally an eruption of disease and a call for the treatment of that disease. A time for us to say, no more. We won't turn a deaf ear to this anymore. We won't put blinders over our eyes anymore. It's time we healed our heart, because these events that happen that are just symptoms of insanity are given permission by the fact that there are illnesses in our heart that have lingered for oh so long. They've just been there for oh so long in our families, in our communities, in our cities, our nations. And as long as nobody sees them, as long as nobody gets violent, as long as nobody gets outrageously hurt, we seem to think it's okay, as long as we can put a blanket over it, as long as we can hide it, we can live with it. Well, my friends, we can't live with it. And we shouldn't live with it. Because it's time. It's time that we healed our human family. We are all created from the exact same genetic source. A very, very small family unit. This is in this scientific age where we can trace anything. We can trace DNA. We can find out what happened to every pharaoh that we can dig up and unwrap from a mummy. We can find out everything that happened in his life, all the food he ate. We can discover the traces and the roots of humanity. We all come from the same single little family. All the races. What we call races are just adaptive examples, just examples of human families that adapted to different climates, different circumstances, different demands upon their life, and took on a different outward appearance because of our different cultural histories. We celebrate different holidays. Because of our different explanations of God, we have different names for God. We have different sacred holidays. But we all come from the same little tiny family. And that's a scientific fact, my friends. That's a scientific fact. Now, as we get further away from that little family, like I said, we find ourselves in different situations, in different predicaments, in different modalities of life. And even now, inside our pleasant, somewhat comfortable homes and cultures that you're living in to provide you with this telephone access, you have one or more of the modern conveniences, probably a career, probably a car, most likely a computer or some other digital device. You have goals. You have projects. You have friends. And all of these things contribute to your definition of who you are. But I'm going to give you a little secret. And this is a secret we're going to explore in great depth in this very, very special seminar that we're going to be conducting. And I want to explain to you also a little bit more about that and why I'm doing that. Because once you understand, then you can start doing your own little seminar. If you can't set aside the time or the money to be in the one I'm providing, I'm going to help you create your own equivalent over here, okay? But here's one of the core elements of what we all have to deal with. And it's this. Whatever defines a person controls that person. If you've allowed yourself to be defined by something that makes you feel less than somebody else, you're going to be pretty angry. And that's one of the diseases underneath what happened in Dallas. We have people who were defined as policemen. We have a man who was defined as a black man. We have other people who define themselves as righteous offenders. Whatever you've allowed to define yourself will control you, whether it's sane or insane, whether it's great or horrible, whether it's wise or stupid. Whatever defines you will control you. Those of you who've read Love Without End may remember this passage in it where Yeshua is talking about the fact that we do not define God. And one of the great mistakes that all religions make is their attempt to, in fact, define God. Now, with this simple explanation I've given, I think you can see not only how silly, but how sacrilegious it would be even to attempt to define God. Because that would be us controlling God. But guess why? Guess why religions do try to define God? Guess why? They want to control God. I'm kind of whispering because it's a secret. It's a secret nobody ever tells. And that is they want to control God. So they're defining God. My friends, let God define you. And then you can be controlled by no one wiser, greater, more loving, more omnipotent, more capable of solving every problem you have and healing every hurt you have. And be very, very careful about anything else or anyone else who defines you. We have all, unless there's a child in the audience yet listening, I think it's safe to say we've all been through a little bit of adolescent conflict with our parents. And guess why? Because as children, our parents defined us. Not totally. We had our own personal identity, but still, we were the son or the daughter of George or Mary. We were the sister or brother of Sam and Henrietta, or we were the granddaughter of, we had a last name given to us. We lived in a family that was unified by that last name. We lived on Oak Street or Elm Street. We went to Carson City High School. And our mascot was maybe the Carson City Tigers. In other words, we were defined by our family, our friends, whether we were a music student, a debate student, whether we were an athlete or not. You get the drift. We were defined, and then we got into our adolescence, and the more we approached adulthood, the more life began demanding that we define ourselves. We may have even had some breakdowns in friendship because we didn't grow up looking like the way our friends thought we should grow up. You know, we might have started out being one way and then we turned into a geek or a jock or a cheerleader whatever. I don't even want to talk about all the labels that we put on ourselves. But the fact is, we changed. And that change brought about stress. Then we went into our young adulthood. We defined ourselves by our careers. And guess what? Our career then controlled us. It determined where we would go to look for a job. Often it determined where we would find our life partner. And so on. Now, the time has come that you set aside some parts of every day in which you're defined by nothing but your own true feelings, your own true desire, your own true aspirations in life. Take time to pray. Take time to meditate. Take just a little moment during that day to be. We from the time we get up to the time we go to bed, we spend our life doing something. Maybe an alarm wakes us up, or we roll over and our spouse says, honey, it's time we get up, and we have to get started, make breakfast, get on the move, and we're off to the races. And from that moment on, it's one thing after another, and then it's time for lunch, and then after lunch it's time for something else, or maybe pick up the kids. Whatever your life is full of, it's full of one thing after another, and every moment defines who you are in that moment. I want you to start making a time chart every day. I want you to write down how many seconds and how many minutes every day you take for just being you. And I want you to see what change that brings about in your life, because it will start healing you. It will start bringing you in a more direct connection with God. It will make your prayers work more powerfully. It will give you insight as to how you can prosper more, heal more, love more, and be more all that you are. And I hope that this time in the blessing will be one of those times where you just let it be. Just let it be. Let yourself be. And now I would like you to just Be quiet in your chair. Allow your attention to fall into your heart. I want you just to let your quietness be your prayer. Let yourself just be who you are and know that that's enough. I will say my prayer to Yeshua. Then the blessing givers and I will conduct the blessing. We'll let you know when it's finished. And then I want you to go and rest for 7 minutes. Again, just be. Don't even think. Don't think about how you'll apply it. Don't think about what it means. Just be. Just be. Dear Yeshua, Son of God, Brother of Man, the one among us who came here to tell us that being a child of God is enough. You came here not for the rich or the educated, not that you didn't love them also, for you loved us all, but you came most especially for those who thought they didn't even matter, to use their lives as an example of the fact that everyone matters and that everyone in the simplicity of their being is a child of God, is beloved of God, is worthy to stand in the light and love of God. Every single person in this world, accomplishment means nothing by comparison to where we stand in the love of God. And as you taught us, the last shall be first and the first shall be last. For that level of accomplishment means nothing in the light of God. To be and truly to be who we are and to be defined by the presence of God and only by the fact that we are a child of God is where our healing comes from, is where our nobility comes from, is where our worth comes from, is where we shed our fear, is where we shed away and give away and release our anger, our hatred, our resistance. In the light and love of God, we surrender everything we have ever thought held value in the realm of negative definition. It means nothing compared to your love. Compared to the love of God, everything else is a wasteland. And we help you. We ask that you help us know that this moment, that we may receive in the fullness of all we are, the simplicity of all we are. Amen. Amen. Your blessing is complete. Now go and rest and receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the love of Christ, and the grace of God. I wish you a blessed and bountiful week with many, many rich experiences. Bye-bye for now, and much love to you.